Off the ball.
Rugby.
Then all we'll never know until we play. We know on the evidence of play well for your province, play well in Europe, play well in the URC, consistently back it up for a couple, four, five, six matches. And then people go, give him a go.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, another Premier League manager sacked after Forest get rid of Sean Dyche in the early hours of the morning. Keith Andrews' Brentford side go up against league leaders Arsenal tonight. Ireland will find out their Nations League opponents. And a last gasp winner for Celtic sees Martin O'Neill's side gain ground on Hearts and Rangers. But first today, Sean Dyche has been sacked after less than 4 months as Nottingham Forest boss. The Premier League strugglers drew nil-all at home to bottom side Wolves last night. Forest at 35 shots during the game, but owner Evangelos Marinakis decided enough was enough, with the club 17th in the league, just 3 points above the relegation zone. Speaking before the announcement, Dyche said he understood the situation.
If the owner wants to make a change, then that's up to him, and that's the way football is now. You know, that's just the reality of it. But I'm not questioning the owner. He's been absolutely fair with me from beginning to the end, and I've been fair with him and told him the truth every step of the way.
On Thursday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, Keith Tracy, who played for Dyche at Burnley, said it hasn't come as too much of a surprise.
I'm not surprised. I don't know what Nottingham Forest want. I know the owner's probably saying, look, we need to stay in the league. I maintain that Sean Dyche will do that. If he stayed in the job, he would have done that with Nottingham Forest. I understand when you look at the squad that Forest have. Like, I'm a big fan of Nico Williams. I think Morgan Gibbs-White is a brilliant player. Elliot Anderson becoming an English international. The wingers with Hudson-Odoi. I know Chris Wood is a big miss, but that squad should be doing an awful lot better. But I think when you boil it down to what's going wrong at Nottingham Forest is the amount of turnover of managers, the fact that they've got European football, the squad has become stretched, and I think they're just struggling with that routine of a game every 3 days. I think it's hurting them a little bit, and yeah, it is what it is at Nottingham Forest. And you know, if you're a manager, and every manager wants to manage in the Premier League, but with an erratic owner like that and three managers in the one season, it's absolutely crazy. And yeah, I would say I have sympathy with Sean Dyche. As I said, I think he will keep them in the league, but I'm sure Nottingham Forest fans demand more. And Sean Dyche said when he first went in there, it's like there's an undercurrent of, oh well, Nottingham Forest will do better than last season. It's not as easy as that. It really isn't as easy as, well, we've done last season, we'll do better this season. It was always going to be an uphill battle, although I understand 17th in the Premier League and looking over your shoulder at West Ham is not where Forest want
to
be.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app. It's also available on YouTube. Vitor Pereira is one of the names being mentioned to replace Dyche and become their fourth manager of the season. The Portuguese has been out of work since he was sacked by Wolves in November after they failed to win any of their first 10 league games of the season. The 57-year-old is well known to Forest owner Marinakis as well from their time together at Olympiacos when the Greek club won a league and cup double in the 2014-15 season. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola says his players are starting to believe they can catch leaders Arsenal after a 3-0 win over Fulham. City cut the gap to 3 points with a 20th win in a row over Fulham in all competitions.
9 points before Anfield, we are not 3 points before Brentford Arsenal. After that, we see. And the players feel that doing what we want to do, wow, we can do it, you know, in terms of mentality and patterns, defensively, offensively, and that we are doing.
Third place Aston Villa got back on track. Unai Emery's side beat Brighton 1-0 at Villa Park last night. Jack Hinchelwood scored an own goal late on to leave Brighton in 14th place, 7 points off the relegation zone with just one league win in 12. James Milner came off the bench for Brighton to equal Gareth Barry's Premier League appearance record of 653 games. Villa are 6 points off top spot. Champions Liverpool ended Sunderland's unbeaten Premier League home record this season with a 1-0 win at the Stadium of Light. Liverpool are 6th, just 2 points behind 5th place Chelsea. Boss Arne Slot was glad to see the way captain Virgil van Dijk got the winning goal.
The big exception for us tonight compared to all the other games we've played against promoted teams or teams that we were the better team, we were not able to score from a set piece. Usually we concede one, but tonight we could score one, and that's the difference for us to win this game.
Burnley boss Scott Parker says he won't forget their spectacular fight back to win 3-2 away to Crystal Palace, giving them their first league win since October. Jorgen Strand Larsen scored twice in his first home game for Palace to give them a 2-0 lead in the first half, but Burnley scored 3 times in 7 minutes before half-time. Parker was impressed with the performance.
To come here at 2-0 down and do what I did was absolutely
incredible. To be honest, that game will live with me for a long, long time because of that, really. When the doubters were there and the adversity was in us, we managed to pull out a result, which was incredible.
Manchester United co-owner Jim Ratcliffe has been condemned by UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer after claiming that Britain has been colonised by immigrants. In an interview with Sky News, Ratcliffe, a British tax exile who's resided in Monaco since 2020, gave his opinion on the UK's immigrant population and the number of people in the UK who claim benefits. On Thursday's Off the Ball Breakfast, football journalist and broadcaster Henry Winter joined Colin Buhig and Keith Tracy and said the comments don't help the club.
I presume you saw Jim Ratcliffe's comments in the last 24 hours, Henry. This is an interview he did with Sky. So about the economy, he was talking about 9 million people on benefits and huge level of immigrants coming in. The UK is being colonised by immigrants, really, isn't it? Now, it's hard to put you on the spot to comment on that statement,
right.
but it's quite eye-opening. At the same time, he was saying that Manchester United are making progress after he had to make a lot of difficult decisions to start with, but needless to say, that is the standout comment. You know, as owner of Manchester United, a lot of the supporters will be very, very unhappy, needless to say, hearing about those words.
Well, first, I disagree with his comments. I disagree with the numbers. I mean, if you're going to make observations like that, then you've got to get your figures right. But I would take a broader view here and think, what does it do for Michael Carrick? What does it do for Kobbie Mainoo, whose parents, you know, grew up in Stockport, parents came from Ghana? Yeah. What does it do for potential managerial recruits? What does it do for the commercial department in terms of spreading Manchester United's message overseas? What does it do to a city like Manchester, which is famous historically for being a welcoming city? So I think I'm slightly surprised that such an intelligent individual should make such comments. Wherever you are on the political divide, or on the actual comments themselves, I just think it just simply doesn't help Manchester United.
No.
You can listen back to that chat in full in your OTB Football podcast feed now. Ireland will be in the draw for League B of the Nations League later on today. Hamir Halgrimson's side, who beat Bulgaria last year to avoid relegation to League C, will be in Pot 3. Ireland could face Scotland, Hungary, Poland or Israel from Pot 1. Switzerland, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Austria and Ukraine are in Pot 2. And Northern Ireland are in Pot 4 with Sweden, North Macedonia and Kosovo. It'll have an impact on qualification for Euro 2028. Ireland, one of the co-hosts for the tournament, along with England, Scotland and Wales, the best-ranked group winners in the Nations League who haven't already qualified, will get a shot at the playoffs for Euro 2028. If any of the four host nations fail to make it to the Euros from their regular qualifying groups, 2 host nation places have been reserved by UEFA, so it would require more than 2 of them to miss out on the top 2 in their regular groups for the Nations League route to come into play. The opening 4 matches of the group phase of the Nations League will be in a new extended September to October international window this year. The final 2 games will be played in the November international break. Meanwhile, Thomas Tuchel has signed the new contract to stay on as England manager until the end of Euro 2028. The deal that the German had before today's news was due to expire after the World Cup this summer. Tuchel's been linked with the managerial vacancies at Manchester United and Tottenham. Gareth McGlynn and Vinnie Perth joined Stephen Doyle for this week's LOI pod to review the opening weekend of the season. And on this week's episode, the trio discussed one of the players who could be a breakout star in the league this season, Shelburne's Jack Henry Francis.
You mentioned Henry Francis there, and I did want to focus maybe on 2 of the Shells players. Vinnie, like, he was a joy to watch, and a joy to watch in the way that Jack Byrne is a joy to watch when he's playing his best stuff for Shamrock Rovers. He's such a good, this fella's such an interesting career. He's 22 years of age now. He's from Croydon in England. Started out the Fulham Academy, then moved over to Arsenal. He was 5 years in the Arsenal Academy, in the Arsenal system, before kind of going senior. Now, he never made a senior appearance for Arsenal. Ends up on loan at Sligo Rovers. And by all accounts, it was Damien Duff who had kind of arranged the deal to get him to back to Ireland to play for Shelburne. And we did see hints of what he could do in those European games at Tallaght Stadium last season. But I thought he was magnificent on Friday night. He's such a good player to watch.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think he was a hell of a good sign. We've seen last year flashes of it, but coming in the summer didn't suit the rest. And them loan signings are difficult for all the teams from the UK because it's their off-season. But at times he was brilliant, European games brilliant. What he's excellent at is manipulating the ball and his body, and almost like who does it for Aston Villa? John McGinn, very much like John McGinn, and that skill set he has where he gets his, Brian Kerr describes it brilliantly, when he had a bit of an arse, John McGinn, but that type of getting his arse in the way. But there's more to him than that. He really good passing range.
I think his passing is amazing. Sorry, Vinny, go on. Yeah. You actually think?
Yeah, I actually think, Steve-O, I know you were really, really impressed with him on Friday. And this is not a criticism. This is me saying, I actually think there's more levels to him. I think he can go up a few more levels with fitness, with better pitches. I think Shells, to me, look like, it'd be interesting to see what Talk is like on Friday. They look like a team that will play really well on the top of the ground, on a good pitches, firm footing, and they can pass that ball. That's what they look like to me. So, and he'll be the centre of that, absolutely the centre of that. So I think there's more to come from that player. I think he could be absolutely outstanding. Yes, he was very good on Friday, but there's another level, I think, in him, maybe two more levels.
If you want to listen to that chat back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast for free. This week, our live League of Ireland commentary game comes from a sold-out Talca Park. It's the 2024 champions Shelburne up against the current champions Shamrock Rovers. Jonathan Higgins and Richie Tell will call the action. You can hear live and exclusive commentary on Off the Ball on your radios from 7 o'clock on News Talk. It's also available on the Go Loud app. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says they'll be going up against a top side tonight. The Gunners can open up a 6-point lead at the top of the Premier League once again if they win away to Brentford. Keith Andrews' side are 7th in the league. They've just beaten Newcastle and Aston Villa away from home. So Arteta says he's expecting a tough night.
It's going to be a really tough game. We know that the run that they are in, how strong they've been at home as well. The last few results that they had, the work Keith and the coaching staff are doing. Amazing. Big credit to them because they are a top side.
Brentford boss Keith Andrews has warned Arsenal that star striker Igor Thiago is hungry for more goals. The Brazilian has 17 league goals so far this season. Only Erling Haaland has scored more. Andrews is confident in the forward's ability.
I think it's a night he's looking forward to for sure. Yeah, he's in really good form. Clearly, he's leading the line well. He's scoring goals. He's playing with confidence. You think about him and Dango in recent weeks. I think Thiago's in a good place.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain scored the winning goal on his Celtic debut in a 2-1 win at home to bottom side Livingston. The champions are third in the Scottish Premiership. They trail leaders Hearts by 6 points with a game in hand. Martin O'Neill says he was pleased for Oxlade-Chamberlain, who came off the bench to get the goal in the 91st minute.
A great goal from a special player who has been throughout his career. Couldn't be more delighted for him. Obviously delighted for us for it to be the winning goal. But we got ourselves into a position where we could have been out of sight early on. We've missed some really great chances there. Goalkeepers played very, very well indeed.
O'Neill added it was an important result for their title hopes.
We've been chasing essentially all season. Naturally, no room for manoeuvre, you know, and that's the case. And tonight would have been really disappointing to have dropped points. But we didn't do him, and we're still chasing.
Rangers' title hopes took a blow after a one-all draw against 10-man Motherwell. The result leaves Danny Rowe's side 5 points adrift of leaders Hearts.
Of course, disappointed. We lost a point. I think during the game, when you take all the 90 minutes, then I think both teams deserved this point. I think we have to be honest.
Charlton beat Stoke 1-0 to move 7 points clear of the relegation zone of the Championship. Ireland's Bussin Lawal was forced off with a hamstring injury in the first half for Stoke. Conor Coventry featured as a sub for Charlton late in the game. Stoke remained 4 points away from the playoff places. And holders Arsenal won 4-0 away to Belgian side Leuven last night in the first leg of their Women's Champions League knockout tie. Frieda Manum scored twice for Arsenal. The reverse fixture is next Wednesday. The winners play Chelsea in the quarterfinals. Manchester United are in Spain to face Atletico Madrid tonight. That's about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.